Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Good morning, City Life family, and happy Thanksgiving. My name is Jazz. I am one of the leaders here in City Life. I serve in multiple areas of our team, but I mainly serve in CLY. Shout out to CLY people. So you guys are incredible. I love them. If I have not met you yet, I am a huge extrovert, so please say hello to me after service, as I would love to get to meet new people. It's one of my favorite things. So, carrying on. This morning, we are continuing our series on Heart for the House. Heart for the House, we call it More Than the Fan, from the stands and into the game. That sounds pretty cool to me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a huge sports person, so that sounds like a call. So last week, Pastor Jeremy kicked us off by talking about growing from a fan to a follower, encouraging us in developing a heart for the house. A heart for God's house and taking on an active role in God's kingdom. So today, with that, I want to talk about something that is pretty close to my heart, something that I've been a part of for forever now, and that is the church itself. We are talking about what is the church, what is the purpose of the church, and what is the strategy of the church in carrying on the mission of Jesus. The Heart for the House has this tagline, from the stands and into the game. And I really like that tagline because it's a call to action, really, from the stands into the game. Too many Christians today are just fans, you know? They're cheering from the sidelines, but never actually getting involved and never getting into the game. And Pastor Jeremy said last week that that when he's watching a volleyball game, he just, like, you know, wants to get in there, want to jump in there. And I kind of share the same feeling. You know, it's like when you have something that you're passionate about and you're watching it happen in front of you, you just want to get in there and play too, right? Yeah. You're just like, I'm playing basketball, I'm playing volleyball. I'm just like, man, put me in there, coach. Like, coach, put me in. And I sound like a little dog barking on the side. It's like, me, coach. But it's really true. And I think that's how our faith should feel sometimes, you know? When you experience something that transforms you, when you have something that you care about, there should be an itch, you know, to stop being a consumer and start being a contributor, to be a part of what God is doing through this church. But the truth is, and this is, I think, where a lot of our hiccup is when it comes to this church, is sometimes we treat church like it's a game that we're watching on the sidelines. We cheer when things are good, and we criticize when things aren't. And that's kind of how church feels like. And I've done this before, don't get me wrong. I start noticing things, and then I start complaining about things. I start noticing problems. And instead of helping, I just talk about it, you know? But I've learned in the past few years here being a part of church that sometimes, and I've learned this from my pastors and leaders, that sometimes, Jazz, if you notice something that is wrong in the church, that is God calling you to meet it. Sometimes there's a call, there's a notice for you of a need, a lacking church, and sometimes God is trying to tell you, it's like, hey, you've got the scale, you notice it, meet it. And so, because in God's kingdom, there are no spectators. There are no fans in the stands. There are no fans in heaven. There are only disciples. And we're all meant to bear our own cross, to carry the cross of Jesus, and to called to run the race. And this is what the church is about, to equip us to run the race. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now notice how it doesn't say on the verse, watch with endurance. It says, run with endurance. And so this morning I want to encourage us, let's run with endurance. Let's run this thing. So see, the church isn't meant to be the crowd, it's the stand. It's not meant to be a crowd in the stand. It's supposed to be the team on the field. And so before we get going, I want to ask this question. It's like, what is the church even? You know? Is it the building? Is it the people? So before we can understand, you know, what the purpose of the church is, before we understand what the mission of the church is, we have to ask the question, what is the church? What actually is the church? So the church is derived from the Greek word ekklesia, which means assembly or called out ones. It's not a place, it's a people. However, I just want to take a moment that though church is the people, the church as our physical home is also incredibly important. As it is the place where we encounter God through teaching, worship, prayer, and community, it is a sacred space that helps, you know, create an environment where people can actually do those things. A dedicated sacred space for people to focus and encounter God. And I think this is the beauty and an understatement to the building of the church as well, is the church can symbolize God's presence in a community. And I think that's underrated in today's time, because within our community, we need that place of hope. We need that place where we can meet God and encounter God. And for people who are lost, you know, and I know we get to represent God, but it's great to have the home base of the church. But within this building, it is the body of Christ, the people that really brings the church to life. It isn't about the walls or the stage. It's us showing up, serving, worshiping, investing, and growing together. The building gives us a home base, but it's the people who carry the mission. And each of us play a different and important role in carrying on the mission of Jesus. So again, when God talks about the church, he's talking about you and me. We are the church. We are the called out ones, called and appointed by God to be disciples for a specific calling and purpose. The church isn't something that we do or something that we attend. The church is something that we are. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23 says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we get this analogy a lot, you know, the church is the body and Jesus is the head. And sometimes I still need learning how to understand that even more. So I want to ask this question. Who here loves sports? Big sports person? Who here likes the Oilers? Woo! All right, I saw some of the ones who made faces. I'll remember that one. Who here's like the Calgary Flames? I knew it. Anyways, so for those that don't know me, I have a very addictive and obsessive personality about certain things. When I start eating a Ferrero Rocher's, I get addictive and I can eat the whole box. One time on my birthday, my family just bought me a bunch of Ferrero Rocher's. I got it done in a week. This stack of Ferrero. Anyways, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but I have obsessive personality when it comes to chocolates and hobbies. And don't you worry, before you start being like, oh, he's going to start talking about volleyball. No, I'm not talking about volleyball today because I have a new obsession. Oh, wow, okay. Formula One. It's pretty cool. I recently got obsessed with Formula One after watching the F1 movie, which then led me to binge watching 4 seasons of Drive to Survive, which then led me to buying a video game on my PS5 and playing Formula One so I can feel like a driver. So I created like a Filipino racer on my PS5. And he became a world champion, just want to say. And then right after that, I was looking into booking for go-kart racing, which is, I haven't gotten there yet, but we'll get there. But yeah, I love Formula One, and it's so much fun. For those that don't know, Formula One is this like fast-paced, intense, and wild world of motorsport racing. Super fast cars, intense competition, funny politics, like team politics, crazy rivalries, high stakes, and insane strategies. And each team has their roster of drivers, and each driver has a unique personality and an edge to them, Max Verstappen. You guys probably wouldn't know that if you don't watch Formula One, but and they represent their team on the track, like McLaren, Ferrari, and all that stuff. But what fascinates me about Formula One is the technicality of it. And it isn't just about the drivers, it's the team as a whole. Like behind every driver, behind every team, they have engineers, mechanics, strategists, management, and the pit crew all working together in unity to achieve one goal. To win the Constructors' Championship and become world champions. And I think in the same way, you know, Formula One, and maybe this is like delusional of me, but I actually think it makes sense, that's the picture of the church. Like, you know, like some are drivers, some are mechanics, some are strategists, engineers, and pit crew, but each of us represents in unity the body of Christ. And every role matters. The church is a living and moving and breathing body of Christ, and we are all part of it. It consists of many different unique and imperfect people who believe in and follow Jesus, which I just want to say, side note, it's like a lot of the times it's like we as a church, we are part of the church, but we are also imperfect people. And I think one of the things that a lot of people like project onto God is their image of who Jesus is through you. And so I think how we live our lives are also very important and how we represent the church. Because I just want to encourage people, the way that you live your life isn't just for yourself. There are people who you influence, there are people who are looking at you and are and you have influence over, and they see Jesus through you. And so I want to say, it's like if you call yourself a Christian and a follower of God, I want to encourage you, live out that life, bear the fruit, and be an evidence of God. Anyways, this is a little part. But yeah, and so it consists of many different unique and imperfect people who believe and follow Jesus, a community and a team of people unified under the leadership and authority of Jesus. And this is the church. This is the body of Christ. The leaders, the pastor, the teachers, and the whole congregation is part of the church. One team, one body, united under Christ. The church isn't something that we attend. It's something that we are. And so I think this is a very important part because now we understand that we are the body of Christ, members of what team? And I want to ask this next question. What exactly are we racing for then? You know, it's like we are the church, we are body of the church. And so what is the purpose of the church? Why are we here? Why do we do all these things? Is it just because to be good people, learn good behavior, and then go on our merry days? What is it? Merry way, thank you. Just in case you guys are wondering, there's a language barrier, and I hit that language barrier every once in a while. But yeah, and this brings me to my next question. What is the purpose of the church? And I kind of want to milk the Formula One analogy a little bit more. So imagine this. All right, imagine all of you guys and me. I like to imagine this way. Imagine you're a fan in the stands with crazy Formula One knowledge. You know how to change tires in seconds. You have a PhD in aerodynamics, you have crazy engineering designs for a state-of-the-art car, or maybe you're like a driver and you are fast as a cheetah and reflexes like a cat. I don't know, I enjoy analogies. And you know, you're on the sideline watching your team struggle because they are missing what you have. Maybe they have no engineer, a driver, a pit crew, or a strategist. What do you think will happen to that team? You know, they're missing parts of that team. Absolutely nothing. They will lose, the team is going nowhere, and that car is not going to be driven by anybody because they are missing that team. And I don't know about you, but again, when I'm watching something I care about or see the potential in it, not living to its full potential, I get this itch, you know? It's like when I was in high school and a player that's playing my position in basketball is struggling. I get this itch to just say, put me in, coach. I want to get in there, coach. Put me, coach. And I want to help. You know, because I have something to offer and I care about the team. I care about the car. I care about everything that it represents. So that itch, that urge that you get when you want to be a part of the church, it's a call by God for you to get active, get involved, and be a part of what he's building. Because here's the thing, the purpose of the church is to be the team. The purpose of the church is not meant to be on the sidelines watching the team. It's to be the team. We're meant to be the people in the garage, in the pit lane, on the radio, in the car, working together, pursuing one purpose to advance the mission of Jesus. We're meant to be teachers in Sunday school. We're meant to be serving in Welcome Home team. We're meant to be in the media room. We're meant to be a part of what God is doing through the church because our mission, our purpose, is to advance the mission of Jesus and be able to share the gospel, allow people to get to know who Jesus is. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The mission of revealing who Jesus is, to make disciples, and to reflect heaven on earth. And I think that, I think City Life in itself also represents this really well. So I kind of want to share this little story. So I've been a part of City Life for 10 years now. That is wild. I've been in City Life since I was a teenager, and I still remember the very first time I came to City Life. We were on that side. Pastor Melissa was preaching, and there was a lot of laughing and giggling and energy. And I thought it was pretty ironic because Pastor Melissa at that time was preaching about anger. And I didn't think anger could be so funny. But what made the message so easy to receive is because she was preaching it from a position of humility. And I remember something about that moment that I was like, okay, this is interesting. I didn't think anger could be well received in that way. You know, when words are convicting, typically you kind of want to stay away from it. Yeah. But when people reflect that character of Jesus, it's easier to receive, you know? And the funny thing at that time is I did have a lot of pressed down anger because of my pride and insecurities. I didn't like where I was in my life at that time. I just moved to Wetaskiwin. I didn't like my school. I didn't care about Jesus. My relationship with my parents were a bit rocky because they wanted us to know Jesus, but I didn't because I thought I was fine without Jesus. And my parents made us come to church that Sunday too, so that didn't help. But there was something in this house that intrigued me though. And there was a shift because one of the things I noticed is that there were teenagers that were my age at that time who were also following Jesus. And I was like, whoa, that's incredible. And then there was a shift. There was a little shift in my heart. And then the next week we came back again. This time, because the first time we went to church on Sunday, we missed worship and we were late by like half an hour. Because, you know, Filipino time is what my Filipino friends say. I was like, oh, I don't like that excuse. But anyways, the next week we came back, City Life, on time this time. I got to experience worship, and after service, Pastor JD's mom, shout out to Brenda. I saw her earlier, but shout out to Brenda, invited me to youth. And honestly, that one simple invite like ended up changing everything for me. The next week we came, I came to youth, and that's when I met, I got to know JD more, and youth was where I really started to rebuild my relationship with Jesus. JD, shout out to JD as well, took me on as someone he would mentor and disciple. I went from being a kind of lukewarm, rebellious teenager to someone who actually wanted to follow him. Like, and now years later, and this is the beauty of church, I was discipled. JD helped me, build that character, and now I get to lead in youth. And I lead some of the most incredible teenagers, and you guys are incredible. And what's funny is now I get to lead JD's kids as well in youth ministry. And so I was like, two things. So blessed to be able to, pour into the people that poured into me, but also I am getting old. And now years later, with the beauty of that, being able to pour into people, City Life has been home ever since. It wasn't just a place we showed up to on Sundays. It became family. It became a place where I was welcome, prayed for, challenged, and encouraged to grow. And that's what this house is supposed to be. Not just a building we meet at, but a home. A place where people feel like they belong, where they grow in their faith, where they're challenged, be kept accountable, and where they're equipped to reach others. Melissa at that time revealed the character of Jesus, contrasted the anger that I was feeling. JD was intentional in making a disciple out of me, and the pastors, the friends, the relationship that I got to have, or the leaders are a reflection of God's kingdom here on earth. And the way that they prayed for me, the way that they cared for me, the way they kept me accountable and cultivated my faith, this is the image of the church. This is what we're for. So again, the purpose of the church is to reveal who Jesus is, to make disciples and reflect Jesus, reflect heaven on earth. And this is the beauty of it. And I think we take a lot of this for granted as if getting involved in church is a drag. No, it's not. Some of the best relationships you'll ever get to build is you getting involved, getting in there, getting in the game. So how do we do this? How do we be a part of what God is doing in this kingdom here on earth? And we know that our purpose is to carry on the mission of Jesus. And so I want to ask this question. What's the play? What's their strategy? How do we carry on the mission of Jesus practically? One of the key verses that I have here is Acts 2, verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostle, teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." And again, I just want to read that again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, to the breaking of bread, aka communion, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And this is going to be our strategy for how we carry on the mission of Jesus. The teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now the teenagers, to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay, you guys write that down. Perfect. Anyways, teaching is number one. This is growing in God's word through sound biblical doctrines. And I'm saying sound biblical doctrines, and you'll understand why. Because biblical teachings aren't just meant to be for pastors, leaders, or teachers. They're not the only ones with access to the holy book, the Bible. It's meant to be for all of us. Teaching and studying the Bible is how we get rooted in Christ. It's how we align ourselves to God's will and call in our lives, whether it's through Sunday sermons, youth groups, small groups, or even casual conversations with fellow Christians. The deeper we grow in our roots, the harder it is for us to be shaped and molded by the culture and opinions around us. And I think this is very important because we live in a day and age where we have so much access to every information out there. And how often do we see churches, people be led away from the Word of God because they don't know or were not rooted in the Word of Christ? And I think this is what's dangerous about in today's world is because we sometimes don't have the ability to discern what's true and what's truth in how people feel. You know, you've heard the term, the truth, you know, my truth. But I just want you to know, truth isn't something that's meant to be subjective. Right. Truth is an objective fact. And the thing is, it's just like, if you are not grounded in your faith, if you are not grounded in sound biblical doctrines, you try and end up following so many directions, then all of a sudden, you know, you question yourself at the end of it, am I still following God or am I following a feeling that I've had? Am I following a validation that I've had? Because here's the thing, church isn't meant to validate every feeling that you have. Church isn't meant to comfort us. It's meant to convict us. It's meant to challenge us. It's meant to grow us. The amount of times that I've wanted to, you know, argue with my pastors and leaders about certain things about the church. But the thing is, again, the church isn't something that's supposed to validate everything that we go through. The church is meant to challenge us, convict us, and teach us. Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth." Sound biblical teaching is what gives us confidence in our faith, especially in today's culture where voices and opinions are so loud and confusing and everyone has their own truth. And if we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, it's easy to get pulled in 100 different directions. But when we're grounded in God's word, we start to see how it shapes everything, how we live, how we treat others, how we make decisions. It allows us to be able to discern God's word and what culture is trying to tell us. And this is why whenever I'm leading in youth in CLY, I challenge the teens and always ask them, and I think they get driven nuts by it, but I always ask, like, what do you mean by that? Because I don't want teens to just listen to teaching. I don't want them to, you know, just listen to something and then go home and be like, okay, cool. No, I want them to own their faith. I want them to understand and know the why behind their faith. Because the thing is because it's like it's so important for a generation to get to know Jesus and to know him fully. And this is the thing that I wrote. I was like, don't be a sheep to the world, be a shepherd to it. Leading it to the true shepherd that is Jesus. Yes. And that is number one, teaching. Number two, fellowship. Building God-centered / oriented relationship. Church is more than just a Sunday school for everyone. It's a breathing and living community of people who are seeking God. Fellowship is where we build God-centered relationship, where people know you. It is where we build relationship that keeps us accountable, challenges us, and encourages and grows us. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Some of my biggest turning points in life didn't happen during big Sunday services or big youth group events. It happened through coffees, yeah, car rides, with someone who cared enough to pour into me. I remember JD trying to drive all the way to, I live in Wetaskiwin, which is half an hour away, driving all the way to Wetaskiwin to pick me up, just to be in Fusion at the time, we call back then. But he drove all the way to Wetaskiwin to pick me up, brought me to CLY, and then drove me right back after, which was like at 9. He probably didn't get home till like later that evening, but to me, that means a lot, you know? That speaks that he's intentional in discipling me. And this is why, again, I want to encourage you. If you are part of the church and you have not connected yet, I want to encourage you, get connected. Have people where you're going out for coffee, being a part of spheres groups, Bible studies, youth group, or anything like that. Be a part of it because it's so important because we're not meant to do life alone. God designed us for relationships, to be a part of fellowship. God designed us to be in relationship with him and with other people. And this is super important. And number three, so we got teaching, fellowship. Number three, we have breaking of bread, aka communion. This is actually one of the practices that I think is also underrated because communion is the practice of partaking and remembering what God Jesus did, what Jesus did. It's not just a Sunday activity where we eat bread and drink juice. It's more than that. It's a reminder of the price Jesus paid in order for us to be restored in our relationship with him. Communion is where we pause and remember the cross and, ooh, I like that. That rhymes nice. Communion is where we pause and remember the cross. And that's, we're here today, not because of anything we could ever do, but because Jesus made a way. That it's by his grace and his love that we as a church are cleaned and redeemed. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 to 17, it says, "When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body." And I think it's pretty timely today that it's Thanksgiving weekend. So I just want to encourage you guys. It's just like this breaking of bread. It's not something that just happens on Sunday. I want to encourage you. It's just like when you eat with somebody, when you are in fellowship with people that you love, think about what God has done for you. Think about the relationship that he is offering for you. And I want to encourage you guys to just remember him, especially in this Thanksgiving weekend. And lastly, prayer, alignment with God. The church should be champions of prayer. It is the practice that allows us to stay in alignment with God. It shows how we listen and learn to discern what God has called us to do. We are meant to implement prayer in our personal lives daily in order to connect with them and pray for one another as we live in unity. And again, some of the most powerful moments I've had actually in my Christian walk happened in prayer as well. When sometimes I'm just sitting there on my knees, surrendering things that I have held in my heart above God, pleading him to take away the things that I have put over him and to bring it down so that he is the one above him. Because I want my heart to desire nothing more than what God has called me to do. And this is something that we teach as well in CLY is that during youth is like where I just like pray for each other. This is a generation that like that needs to get to know Jesus and to stay alignment with him. Prayer is important. Prayer is for all of us, and all of us have access to the Father. We are a church that not only talks about God, but a church that talks to God. So, number one, teaching. Number two, fellowship. Number three, communion. And number four, prayer. And those are the strategies that I just want to encourage us to implement in our lives as we represent the church. So this is a strategy that the church, we need to adapt in our own daily lives because this is the playbook. Yeah. Teaching is what grounds us. Fellowship is what connects us with each other. Communion is what reminds us. And prayer is what aligns us to the calling of God. And we are all invited to it. To be a part of the race, we're not meant to be in the stands watching the church, waiting for the church to do something. No, we're invited to be the church, to be on the track, to be what God has called us to be. and we're called to reveal His character. We're called to make disciples, and we're called to represent heaven here on earth. And we do that by building His house, serving in it, growing in it, encouraging each other, loving and reflecting Jesus to this world. So I want to encourage you as I close today. Too many Christians today have confused the difference between being a fan and a follower. Too many Christians spectate the mission of Jesus rather than being a part of it. So I want to encourage you today, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, a Christian, not just by label, but by the fruit of your life, I want to nudge you. Be a part of the race. Develop a heart for the house. Be an active body of Christ, serving, loving, and growing your relationship with Christ alongside the church. Because if God has chosen the church to be the vehicle in which He wants to advance His kingdom, then we all have a part to play. We are the church, one body, one team, unified under the authority of Christ. So as I end, I just want to encourage us all to stand up. I'm going to close here. I want to ask three questions. I don't know why I had my hand all like this the whole time, but I want to ask you three questions. Are you a spectator or a driver of your faith? Where does God urge you to serve in His house? And this last one is pretty important. Is how you live evident of Jesus' presence in your life? Because that's pretty important to you. And I'm going to end with this verse. Ephesians 1, verse 22 to 23. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. So again, we are part of one body, one team, united under Christ. So I want to encourage us, let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You that we get to be a part of Your house, that we get to represent Your team. And right now, Lord, I just want to thank You that if there are things that our heart desires that we have not surrendered under You, God, may You just reveal that in our hearts, because we want to long for You. We want You and we want to love You, God. And we want to, you know, be able to stand in humility and serve in Your house today, God. And if you guys could repeat this after me as well, I want to pray for those who are wanting to get to know Jesus more. It's like, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for who You are. Thank You that You are the God I get to worship. And right now, I surrender my heart to You. I receive Your call. And I want to be a part of Your church. And I want to be Your church. Thank You for everything You do in me and through me. And may I carry on the mission of Jesus to this world that You love. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.